Jump shot. It goes. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. As always, our Tuesday edition of the show includes Amari Sankofa from The Athletic, does a great job covering the Grizzlies along with Peter Edmondson over there for The Athletic. But first, before we get to that, make sure you go and subscribe to the podcast. Whatever podcast platform you're using, go out there and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode like this or any other of our other episodes. We do preview episodes for every game. We're coming out with a big, like we've mentioned a couple past couple episodes, coming out with a big Andre Iguodala trade special. Got guys from all over the country, all of the different kinds of teams, giving their perspective as well. So that'll come out later today. I was waiting on one piece of audio for that to come out. So that'll come out later today. So go subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss anything at all. Amari, what's going on today, man?
Hey, it's going great. Probably not quite as exciting as your life currently is. I saw you got the puppy. So
yes, cool. Got a new puppy. I spent the last few days cuddling with said puppy because it is a golden doodle, and it's like a big, it will be a big dog. But we've never had a puppy this small, so you've got to take advantage of it when it's this tiny. And we just had it like laying in different spots, like sleeping on the counter and my desk. Things like that. Things to puppies you do, you know, cuddling with puppies, puppy kisses, things like that. However, the first night we had her, we let her sleep in our bed, which is a terrible idea, by the way, because I forgot that puppies like to wake up in the middle of the night and play. And that sucked. That sucked a lot.
Man, I've never had a dog, so I'm not super familiar on like the process of having one. But
they're like kids. Fun. I mean, hey, they're like kids. They like to attention all the time. So I don't recommend it if you have never had children, and I don't recommend children or if puppies at all, if you don't like them. They're a lot of work indeed. And a lot, and very expensive. I had a meeting with my financial advisor this morning and we realized that kids are expensive. So
yeah, well, I've never had a kid or a dog. So this is completely out of my depth.
Yeah. Well, take it from me, Amari. They're expensive. You don't have to, seriously, they're expensive and a hassle, but they're great when they're great and they're bad when they're bad. Nonetheless, we're here to talk about Grizzlies, not my family or puppies. Although a podcast about puppies would be cool. Either way, let's not do that though. Let's talk about the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies took out the Clippers and the Suns over the weekend. DeAnthony Melton had a fantastic game. Is DeAnthony Melton a long-term piece to this team? I mean, can he be sustained success over the next few years? I'm assuming they'll re-sign him. I would as well try to get him for a cheap 3-year deal. But is that something DeAnthony Melton can sustain what he's done over the past few weeks?
I think it is. That's just the type of player DeAnthony Melton is. He has long arms and he knows how to use them. Like, he rebounds extremely well for his size, obviously. He's a decent catch and shoot 3-point shooter, which I think is really the key with him moving forward, is that if he can knock that down consistently, then regardless, I mean, I think he's a no-brainer part of this young core just because he is so versatile, you know, especially on defense. He's still young and getting better. But his catch and shoot 3-point percentage is a lot better than his overall 3-point percentage. And I think, definitely down the road, I think that's the thing that, would turn him from just an extremely useful defensive role player to a potentially elite one, like as he improves from there. So I've actually gotten that question a lot. You know, I had a live Q&A, I think, Saturday or Friday, and then I did a mailbag yesterday. And, people want to know, like, outside of John, Jaren, Brandon Clark, who's, like, that next guy. To me, DeAnthony Melton is it. I mean, he's just been really, really impressive over the last month and a half or so.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on Friday's show, Thursday's show as well, that I think he's a player. I think he's here to stay. Something I also said on yesterday's show, and I kind of get your thought on this as well, kind of along the same lines of sustained success. You know, this 3-point shot from Jaren Jackson Jr., something we didn't see at all last year, and now has become a real thing. And he is an elite threat. I mean, he was coming off screens in one of those games and shooting shots like a shooting guard, like not even just no hesitation, just throwing them up and knocking them down. Is this, I mean, this is obviously something that is going to stick with him, but is this, I mean, do you think he can sustain success at this level? I mean, he's shooting like a ridiculous amount and making a ridiculous amount right now for a forward. I know he's a good player, but is this something that you think we'll see? This is just who he is now?
I think this is just who he is now. And it is crazy to see. I mean, Jaren was a good 3-point shooter last year, but he was not, you know, like Kyle Korver. You know,
right.
Like he wasn't like Mike Miller. Like the last month, really, you know, for longer than a month, since mid-November, he's been that level of shooter. I mean, you know, you see him coming off screens, pin down, like, you know, like a shooting guard, like essentially, and he's hitting him with range. I mean, it's really, you know, he's kind of crossed into like that next tier as a shooter. And
right.
You know, I can't see why he wouldn't be able to sustain it. I mean, one, he's, you know, like 6'11", 7 feet tall, so a lot of his looks are pretty clean. You know, he's pretty good at knowing when to take them, you know, punishing defenders to give him space. And he does shoot a lot of open ones because, you know, he's going up against other guys who are 7 feet tall. And obviously, you know, the goal of the offense is to make those guys pick between protecting the rim and having to come out and contest. And Jaren, I seem to realize that. And he's like, he had the deep one against Phoenix that was like 30 feet out. You know, like he's
right.
Clearly aware that that's something that he should be doing. And he's been punishing teams for that. But I think he can sustain it. Like, he's extremely confident at doing it right now. He's taking like 8 a game over the last 2 months, like hitting him at a 41% clip or something like that. It might actually be better. I haven't checked in like the last week, but it's crazy to see, right? Like, I don't think anyone expected him to make this big of a leap as a shooter this season, or even if he was ever going to be that type of shooter. You know, I think when you look at how he was projected to develop, that was going to be a part of his game, but you can't necessarily project a guy to be able to take 8 a game and hit him at a 40% clip. Like, he's
right.
Like among like the elite guys in the league now. But I'm going to hazard a guess and say that I think he can sustain it. Like, he's 20 years old and he's doing this, and you know, you figure he'll get better before he gets worse at it.
Yeah, I mean, it is something that, like you said, it's impressive and it's crazy. You know, he does get a lot of overlooks because of the way people play him, but you know, obviously that's going to change at some point. It's just like they've changed the way they play Jaw the last weeks. I mentioned that yesterday, that you know, that's something to know. Just they play Jaw with a lot more wings now, a lot of teams and bigger guys, and it's kind of it's a struggle for him. And that's going to change with Jaren too. And I don't know how it's going to change. I don't know what people are going to do, but while they're not guarding you, shoot your shot, because that. What he's there now is nothing short of impressive. And
another part of that is, like somebody asked a question on Twitter last week. It might have been you. You know, I think it was somebody with SB Nation. They said, who's been more important to this run the Grizzlies have had? You know, obviously with them being 9-6 in their last 15, and they listed Ja, Jaren, maybe somebody else. I mean, you go back further than this, and the Grizzlies have basically been a 500 team.
Right.
You know, since mid-November. They started off really, really poorly. And then for the last 2 months, they've basically been a 500 team. And a big reason for that is because their offense has kicked into gear. Like, they are at worst an average offensive team, but their, you know, percentages have been good. Like, they've been, you know, like their assists per game are like top 3 or 4 in the NBA. A big reason for this is because Jaren's range and volume, you know, just takes this team to like another level. When you have a big man,
right.
You can do that.
Yeah.
At a high level, it changes the entire offense. You know, it puts so much stress on opposing defenses. And, you know, you mentioned teams will begin to play Jaren differently because of that. Once teams start doing that, that opens up the lane for Ja, opens up the lane for everybody. And, you know, not be the next thing the Grizzlies have to figure out as a team is what do we do with the space. But that's going to be a good thing. So I don't even think we've seen how good this offense can be yet. You know, like as soon as teams start to really close out on Jaren when he's pulling up, you know, we're talking about, you know, in year one of Taylor Jenkins, this could be a top 10 offense.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's an offense, and I've said this plenty of occasions, plenty of shows, that it's scary. You know, if Taylor Jenkins gets himself a real shooter on that wing, someone who could just is an elite shooter, just that's it's a knockdown skill, or you know, just a playmaker. I mean, that's a scary offense because it's already good. And if he gets a little bit of some changes on the roster that I think he wants, and it will be better for the team, then that's a scary, scary thing for this team. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk next the great debate of Ja Morant versus Mike Conley. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Amari Sankofa like we do every single Tuesday on this show. A great debate got started the other night, and I didn't even really see it until probably the end of it. Our pal Joe Mullenix, I think, is maybe the one that started it. I don't know, but hopped on social media to see people talking about the fact that Ja Morant is as good right now as Mike Conley ever was. And I'll be the first one to say it, that Ja Morant's better than Mike Conley. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, I know there's a lot of love for Mike Conley here. I know there's a lot of people who misremember what things were. And Mike Conley's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a great player. But Ja Morant has an ability to move defenses like Mike Conley never did. The amount of things that Ja Morant does on the offensive end that translates to what defenses have to do to take that away is insane. Like you just mentioned in the previous segment, once they start playing Jaren a certain way, then it opens up for Ja. He can do so many things, and his passing is elite. He's a better passer right now than Mike Conley ever was, period. And that's I don't know if that's an argument really, but I am in the firm camp of Ja Morant's better than Mike Conley. I don't know. I mean, I know there are certain statistics. Joe Mullenix wrote about it today over at Grizzly Bear Blues. There are certain statistics that probably weigh in the favor of Mike Conley, but it ain't by much. That's for sure. It ain't by much at all. What says you about Ja Morant versus Mike Conley? I know there's a context of it is that it is Ja Morant right now versus Mike Conley in his prime. That's the context. And I think it's going to take a lot of context out there of Ja Morant versus Mike Conley rookie, which is no-brainer. Ja Morant's better than that. But we're talking Ja Morant versus Mike Conley, prime Mike Conley.
I will start off by saying the fact that it was a debate, you know, says a lot about how good Ja's been.
Sure.
And, you know, just about Ja's just pure natural ability. Like, one, Ja is a different tier of athlete. I just compared to Mike, who, you know, like, was fast, obviously, but, you know, just wasn't anywhere near close to being the type of leaper that Ja is. But Ja knows how to leverage his athleticism in ways that, you know, like, make other parts of his game better. You know, like, he'll, like, jump and, you know, like, buy extra time and then deliver, you know, like, passes to people. Like, Ja is just a different tier of athlete, which I think, one, just allows him to do a lot of things that Mike couldn't do if he wanted to, right? You know, we've already seen Ja is already quite advanced at using his athleticism to do some amazing things. So I think that's a big reason right there. Like, I think, like, Conley, obviously, you know, if you're speaking in terms of, like, who's using their gifts better, like, or maximizing their talent, it was Mike. I mean, you know, we have hundreds of games, you know, that we've seen that proves that. But the fact that it's a debate says a lot about Ja. With that said, I don't, and this isn't a firm response, I don't know if we can actually ask that question yet, only because Ja has only played 30 games, right? Like, Ja gets a huge benefit of the doubt because Ja hasn't been tested in any way. He hasn't played any playoff games. You know, there's just stuff Ja hasn't done. Like, he's played 30 games and he's had 30 really good rookie games. And we're comparing this against Mike's entire body of work. You know, Ja hasn't had his face broken in a playoff game and have to come back. You know, Ja hasn't played games with, like, real stakes. You know, like, I think, you know, we're comparing each player's best 30-game sample size. Like, we could do that, but I don't know if it's fair to Mike to, you know, like, compare Ja's 30 games against his entire body of work, because we've seen Mike do some incredible things in tense moments, you know, and that's because he is in year 12 and 13 of his career, so he's had opportunities to do that. Ja hasn't had the opportunity to do anything except be a good rookie on a team with no expectations, and he's gotten an A-plus at that. But, you know, until we see Ja in those playoff moments and whatnot, I think it's kind of hard, you know, to really have that debate without being disingenuous. You know, if we're talking, you know, the first 30 games of the rookie season, then, yeah, it's Ja. You know, until we see Ja in those moments, you know, it's hard for me to take him over Mike, just because you know that when the going got tough, Mike could come through for you. We just haven't seen Ja in those types of games yet.
So you're saying to be determined is what you're saying. You're taking.
Determined.
Okay. I like that. You know what? That's a fair political response. But on this show, we don't give political responses, and I go all in. I'm just kidding. I think it's it's a fair answer. I mean, it really is true in the sense that I think Mike was definitely a better shooter for sure. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that, but a better finisher, that's a Ja Morant. And then you go down the line and say, okay, yeah, Ja Morant's a probably a better passer, but you know, does Mike Conley probably rank better in terms of, you know, being able to win games like down the stretch, taking care of the basketball, managing the game. You know, those are things that Mike Conley did extremely well, taking, you know, valuing possessions and making sure that your team got a quality shot. That was something that Mike did extremely well. And the playoffs are a testament to that. And we just don't, you know, you're right. We don't know if that's ever going to be Ja Morant. We have an idea of what he could be just based on what we've seen, but really don't know just yet. I'm probably jaded. I'll be honest. My podcast name on Twitter is called Locked On Ja Morant, so I'm probably jaded in the sense that I think he's a better player. But it's either way. At the very least, I think it's a toss-up, and at the very least, it's a fun debate. And like you mentioned, the fact that we're actually having this debate right now, I mean, that's a whole different ballgame in the sense that I never thought we'd even have – I didn't ever thought this conversation would exist, 30 games into the season? You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge part of it, just even have this conversation, right?
Definitely. And if the question were, who would you wager on having a better career, you know, it would be Ja without question.
Yeah.
Which I think is an easier question for me to answer because Ja right now is already doing things that Mike could never do. You know, but until Ja breaks his face in the playoff game and, you know, has to come back, you know, like less than a week later and, you know, like play out a tough game leading to a tough win. Like not that exact scenario, but stuff like that. That kind of goes beyond, well, this player can do this, this player can't do this. Those are the moments I tend to define careers, right? You know, like you see people debate Steph Curry, and people will rightfully say, you know, like he is not a good Game 7 player.
Right.
We can't say that about Ja because he's never even played a playoff game. Like there's this other intangible stuff that Ja won't be able to do until probably year 3, year 4, year 5, or even beyond. So I think you're kind of weighing when you say who's better between Ja and Mike. The idea of what Ja's going to be versus what Mike's already done, which I don't think is fair to Mike Conley. So because of that, I'm saying Mike right now, but down the line, I would probably end up saying Ja.
All right. Heard it here first. Amari says Mike Conley, but to be determined on this Locked On Grizzlies episode. Check the receipts whenever Ja Morant is better than Mike Conley at the end of the year, though, for me. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. We will come back and preview the Grizzlies game tonight together. Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Grizzlies on Tuesday night. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Amari Sankofa, like we do every single weekend, but every single Tuesday on this show from The Athletic, covers the Grizzlies along with Peter Edmondson over there. Does a great job. If you're not already subscribed to The Athletic, make sure you go and do so. It's a fun, it's a great articles, it's cheap, it's perfect. So just go subscribe. The Grizzlies take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight, Amari. They have taken on the Timberwolves twice already this season, 2-0 against the Timberwolves so far. And it says on ESPN that Karl Anthony Towns is not playing. Do you know if that's true?
If ESPN is saying it, then I would assume so. Like, I don't get to play since mid-December because of a knee sprain, you know, which obviously is not ideal for Minnesota because they've been pretty bad over the last month, or they weren't even that great with him. But yeah, I mean, if Karl Anthony Towns isn't playing, I think you have to collect the Grizzlies out here for sure.
And the Grizzlies, I have not seen – no, I just looked it up on Twitter. There's no medical designations for tonight's game against the Timberwolves as well for the Grizzlies. So the Grizzlies have benefited over the past weeks. I'd say maybe over the long haul that they've benefited for not a whole lot of extended injuries for this team, which has obviously helped them against a lot of teams being at full strength and other teams being not at full strength, this Timberwolves being a team being one of them. I would say tonight, for me, one of the biggest matchups we can look at is Jaren Jackson Jr. and whomever guards him. I think he can really take advantage of this roster, especially stepping out, shooting threes. I think that will play pretty big into the Grizzlies' hands.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely would. You know, you look at how well the Grizzlies have played, you know, obviously over the last 15 games being 9-5. And even in that span, I mean, they should probably be 10-5 in that stretch instead of 9-6 because, you know, they were up 20 points on the Kings last week and then just couldn't take care of the lead. And they've actually had a few games like that. I forget the exact number, but, you know, they've built a lot of big leads, like over the last 15 games, just couldn't hang on to some of them because they're young and don't know how to close yet. But there's an argument that they've been a little bit better than their record, actually, you know, just because of that. This is a Minnesota team that, they just don't have their best player, right? I mean, I think Karl-Anthony Towns is the guy that, you know, you would have on Jaren. I mean, he's a pretty capable defender, especially on the other end. Like, he's one of those guys that are crafty and just a good enough scorer that you're going to get Jaren in foul trouble early, and now Jaren's playing 18, 19 minutes instead of, you know, his usual 28, 29. And that obviously works in every team's favor. So, but Karl-Anthony Towns, I don't really see anybody being able to get Jaren off his game.
Yeah, the Timberwolves, again, you know, they're going to be rolling out probably, I would assume, Robert Covington is going to be the one guarding Jaren because they roll out. Right now they're rolling out Robert Covington, Gorgui Dieng, and Andrew Wiggins as their front court. So I would assume that it's probably going to be a Robert Covington out there guarding. Now on the flip side of that, Jaren's got to run around and guard Robert Covington. So there's a little bit of back and forth there. Honestly, for me, I think your best lineup for this is honestly Brandon Clark at the four and Jaren at the five to guard Gorgui Dieng and then Brandon to run around the people. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen in the starting lineup. But I think that would probably be better than Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. out there. But the Timberwolves, like you mentioned, yes, are not a real great team. They're 14-21 right now. They are a middling defensive team, and that's really only because of Karl-Anthony Towns. And like you mentioned, he's been out. So that's a pretty big hit to their defensive scheme as well. They don't score a lot of points. They're 24th in the league in scoring. They're 12th in the league in the scoring. They're 24th in the league in opponent's points per game. They don't have a great offensive rating. They're not a great offensive team. They play pretty fast, but they don't make a lot of shots. They are a bit like the Suns in the sense that they play fast, but they don't make a lot of shots. So I think the Grizzlies definitely have to take an advantage here for sure. And I think John Morant could really have a good game as well. I mean, you got to hear someone like Shabazz Napier guarding John Morant. That's a big deal for Shabazz Napier to try to take on. And the other two games, John Morant's really taking advantage of the Timberwolves. And I think the Grizzlies, I would see them having a really good shot at winning this game tonight.
For sure. You know, Timberwolves have pretty solid defensive guards. You know, like, I know Jared Culver, like, obviously he's a rookie, like John Beast had some nice moments this season. But yeah, this just isn't really a team that's built to win games right now. Like, I think they just had an 8 or 9 game losing streak. The Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, despite having pretty similar records, have been trending in opposite directions, for the reasons we just named. That was Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't know. He finds a way to get back on the court tonight. That's a different story. But yeah, the Grizzlies, I mean, they just have a huge talent advantage, really, you know, just given that their top two guys and John Jaren are healthy. Like, you never really quite know at this team. We've had conversations in the past where it's like, yeah, I don't see the Grizzlies winning this one, or yeah, this game should definitely be a shoo-in. And the opposite happens because the team's been fairly unpredictable. But, you know, especially if this being the first of a 6-game homestand, which is the longest of the season, I'm sure the Grizzlies certainly hope that they get off to a strong start and continue their winning ways.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think they are going to have a good chance at winning this game, and that's going to start with Jaren and Ja. You know, so a few keys to the game, though, if you want to take a look at a few things the Grizzlies have to look out for. Timberwolves get to the line really well. The Grizzlies got to defend without fouling. They get to the line at one of the best rates in the league. The offensive rebound, one of the best offensive rebounds in the team in the league, at third in the league right now, offensive rebound. So the Grizzlies have to really clean up the glass, defend without fouling, and keep them off the 3-point line. They're the third in the league in 3-point attempts. So running them off the 3-point line, getting them back inside the 3-point arc to make them shoot mid-range jumpers. Also, some keys in the game the Grizzlies can do to probably take a win tonight against the Timberwolves inside of FedEx Forum. Amari, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you joining me. What can people read from you this week?
For sure. So obviously the Grizzlies have, they look slated to have some pretty good participation in the All-Star game with John Morant getting an invite to the dunk contest, which he's yet to accept. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. But
make sure you ask him about that tonight. Make sure you ask him about that tonight.
Oh yeah, we definitely are, but I'm gonna do something on that. So we'll talk to that tomorrow.
Fantastic. Cool. You guys heard it from Amari. Again, to be determined on the John Morant versus Mike Conley debate. He'll be back next week, like he always is on every single Tuesday. Go subscribe to The Athletic so you don't miss Peter's articles, Amari's articles. Go subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss our conversations. Got a lot of great content coming out for you guys. Amari, I appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Definitely, man. See you in 7 days.